Now, chapter 44 is a marvelous chapter. We have here the pouring out of the Spirit and a satirical denunciation of idolatry and the identification of Cyrus here. We have the promise of the Spirit in the first 8 verses, and I'm just going to lift that out now rather hurriedly. God says here in verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Now, I think this is the reference to the pouring out of the Spirit, which corresponds to the passage in Joel, the 2nd chapter, 28 through 32. Now, if you read that very carefully, you will find it was not fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, because when Peter quoted from it, he did 2 things. He said, first of all, this is that. He didn't say it was fulfillment, but this is similar to that. In other words, they were ridiculing it, making fun of these men, and saying they were filled with new wine instead of the Holy Spirit. Now he says, this ought not to amaze you, because this is similar to what will take place in the last days. Now, how do you know it wasn't fulfilled on Pentecost? Several reasons. He says, "And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood." And Peter quoted all of it, and that didn't take place on the day of Pentecost. I know of no one that makes that claim. And then he says here, the Spirit was not poured out on all flesh at Pentecost. Here it's all flesh. There were only 120, and then there were 3,000, but never all. And after 1,900 years, it's still not all. There probably were 500,000 to 1,000,000 people in Jerusalem at that time. By no stretch of the imagination can you say it was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. But it's coming, friends. That's the day that is coming. It's the reason I continue to say the greatest days for God are in the future. Now, in verse 9 through 20, we have a brilliant polemic against idolatry here. And it's devastating the way that he deals with it here. He says, verse 9, "They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. Their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed." This is a brilliant satire now against idolatry. Those who make images, they are witnesses to the senseless character of their gods. Why, an idol can't see and he can't talk. Paul called them nothings. For that's what they are. They're no help at all. Now, verse 10. Notice this. "Who hath formed a god, a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing?" Well, you spend all your time making your god, and he says you ought to be ashamed. Because, actually, you got it mixed up. You don't make God. God makes you. And he goes on to describe it here in verse 12. "The smith with the tongs worketh with the coals, and all of the labor and talent and time and money that goes in to making a god. And after all, what do you get?" Well, you don't get anything but just a little beautiful nothing, by the way. And the origin of a man-made god begins in the forest, and it's God who made the tree to begin with. Only God can make a tree. Now he says you take the chips that are left over and the surplus of the tree, you make a fire and warm yourself and cook your bread. Well, that's very nice, by the way. That's helpful. But that old image you made, that's no good to you at all. Why, the idol is no good. He can't warm you. He can't cook your food. He can't help you. He can't save you. He can't do anything for you. This is calling Israel's attention to how absurd it is. And my friend today, many of us give ourselves to those things that take us from God, and they don't help us. They don't lift us. They don't bring joy to us. And they never can save us. Now, in the last section here, we have this man Cyrus. The last verse says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. I personally believe that verse should be put with the next chapter, as we're going to see next time, because this man Cyrus is marked out here long before he was even born into the world. He came out of the East. All right, we'll leave off there. And so until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.